Good to see everyone this morning, and we're in the book of Romans, and we're talking about the gospel, and we said that the gospel is a conduit. Now, we all know what a conduit is. A conduit is something that delivers something to another place, right? The gospel is the conduit that delivers salvation. And so Paul here introduces himself in chapter 1 as the apostle, that he is called. He is called to preach the gospel. He is called not of someone else. He's called of God. Later on, he's going to say, listen, I didn't learn this up in Jerusalem, I learned it out in the wilderness. He went to the University of God and got his degree, and that's what he give out. Well, let me tell you something. I appreciate seminars. A lot of them are cemeteries. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to know anything about God, just get the book down, and he that lacketh wisdom and understand him, let him ask of God, for he giveth liberally and upbraideth not. So if you don't know anything about God, you have nobody to blame but yourself. You say, Tom, that's horrible. No, that's good news. You know, I hear people, and I know what they mean. Well, I read the Old Testament, but I just can't understand it. I read it too. And you know what? Some of the names in the Old Testament I still can't pronounce. But I keep reading it. And you know what I do before I read it? I say, Lord, I'm just going to take it your word. You said, he that has wisdom and understanding, let him ask of you, for you giveth liberally and upbraideth not. So I'm just here. And you know, it's amazing. It might take me 10 times reading it. But it's amazing how all of a sudden a lot will click on and I say, oh, okay, I got it. Now I move on. That's the idea. And Paul here is saying, I'm going to Rome, and I'm going to Rome to get me some fruit. And the way I'm going to get fruit is I'm going to preach this gospel. This gospel is the only thing that will produce fruit, folks. Nothing else. Nothing else. Only the gospel. Give out the gospel, the good news of God, which is concerning his son, Jesus Christ, right? That he was, that he died for our sins. He was buried for our justification. He was raised for justification in the sight of God, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father to make intercession, and he's coming back again. That's the good news. Anything else is not good news. So, and then he goes on and he gives the illustration. You remember in chapter 2, he in chapter 1 he indicts the Gentiles, in chapter 2 he indicts the Jews, right? And then he comes over to chapter 3, and I had two people stand up last time, and we read, right? What did we read? We read 3, 19, and 20, and then 21, because that's where it changes. In 3:21, he says, but now, that's the bad news, he says. I've given you all the bad news. But now, let me give you the good news. But now, the righteousness of God is revealed, right? Because earlier he had said the wrath of God was revealed. Well, if the wrath of God's revealed, we got to have a way out of the wrath, right? So he says, but now the wrath, righteousness of God's revealed. And then he comes on down through there and he gives this wonderful litany. And then he comes to chapter 4 and he says, now let me give you illustrations. You know, I love illustrations. It helps me understand things. I love examples. It helps me understand things. If you can give me something on my level, you're down pretty low. If you can give me something on my level to help me understand, that's helpful to me. You know, I guess that's why I love Judge Judy. She keeps it on my level. She don't care who you are. If you're stupid, she'll say you're stupid. I get that. But he says, let's talk about Abraham in the flesh. Now, why would he say, let's talk about Abraham in the flesh? Well, because we're all in the flesh. Abraham was no different than you, Dwayne. He was no different than you. He was no different than you. He was no different than you. Listen, Abraham was in the flesh. He's just like us. We're in the flesh. He said, well, let's see what Abraham in the flesh has found. For if he were justified or made right with God by works, he would have whereof to glory or to boast. Well, what does it come after that? But not before God. Not, how many of you are saved? Don't raise your hand. You raise it in your heart. When you get there, I guarantee you, you won't stick your chest out and say, God, look here. I got you. I made it. No, we'll be on our knees. And oh, God, if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't have had a chance. Wouldn't have had a prayer if it wasn't for you. Because of you, I'm here. And so he says he'd worry after God, but not before God. And then he goes on and he says, Abraham wasn't justified by the law. He was justified by faith. And then he goes on and gives the next illustration. And who was the next illustration? He says David. Let's look at David. Well, David was king. They all knew about Abraham. They all knew about David, right? So if they looked up to them, turn that off if you don't care. It's distracting me. Thank you. If they looked up to Abraham and David and saw that they were no different than them, it would be helpful to them, right? So he says, let's look at David. He says, where cometh this blessedness that David talks about? Did it come from works or did it come from faith? He says, this blessedness, you know, that his sins were forgiven. He says, blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Listen, if God don't impute sin to you this morning, you're of all men blessed. Because if he imputes sin to you, you're lost. You're not right, you're wrong. Remember, listen, there's either right or wrong. That's how it is with God. It's not, listen, that's why we can be a witness, folks. If this is not complicated stuff. When you want to testify or witness to somebody, just say, are you right with God? Well, they know what right means. Are you on the right side of God? If you're not on the right side with him, you're on the well, you don't want to be on the wrong side of God. I can tell you that. That's the bad news. But the good news is, if you are on the wrong side of him, you can get on the right side of him. And it's the same way David got from the wrong side to the right side, by confessing his sin. Remember, I went back to Psalms 51. I read you David's confession. And he said, oh God, my sin is ever before me. He says, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you wash me with hyssop? Would you make my heart right again? And then I can go out and tell people. And he said, now, did he get this from the law? Did he get this from works? Or did he get it from faith? And the answer is, not by works. And then he says, he comes on down, he says, okay, now we've got two groups of people in the world. Who are they? No, I'm talking about ethnicity. There we go. We got Gentiles and Jews. So he comes down there and he's going to cover the Gentiles and Jews now. He says, okay, did Abraham get this, what he got, which was salvation, being right with God? You know, God imputed unto, he believed God and God imputed unto him for righteousness. That's made him right. He said, did he get this while he was in uncircumcision or in circumcision? Now, why would he use that? Well, because Gentiles were not circumcised. Jews were. But when Abraham received the righteousness of God, he was uncircumcised, which meant he was not a Jew at that time. Listen, Abraham was a Gentile before he's a Jew. You were lost before you were saved. You were not a saint before you were made a saint. Abraham received, he says, Abraham received circumcision as a sign. Oh, thank you, brother. Whoever can read lips gets the answers in here. He says, Abraham received this as a sign. A sign of what? What'd you say?
Faith.
You know, that's a good answer.
But it's wrong.
Well, it's not exactly wrong. It's a good answer. But it's not the correct answer. The circumcision was a separation. When a person is circumcised, they separate the flesh from them, right? That's what circumcision is. And he says this sign was given to him as a sign that Abraham is now separated from what he was to what he is. That's why he says circumcision is not outwardly. It's circumcision of the heart. You can't get out here and act and live morally good enough because your heart is still wrong. I don't care how good a person is in the flesh. Unless they have been circumcised of the heart. Unless they're at separation. And separate, you know, does the Bible say this? Be ye holy as God is. Well, do you know what that word holy means? Separated. Is God separated from man? Well, yeah, he says, listen, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are higher than the heavens. God is separated from man. You can't get to God unless God makes a way for you to get to him. And that's where it comes in. He says, I'll tell you what now. If you're going to come to me, I got to separate you from this world. I got to separate you from this world. Remember, he says, I've got to deliver you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. In other words, and I remember I've done this before. I've moved my assistant, my illustrious assistant, my well-known assistant, my valued assistant. I can't think of any more right now, but I'll get them later. I have moved her from where she sits to over here. And I said to you, now, is she still over there or is she over here? That's what salvation is, folks. Listen, if you're still where you were, bless God, you're not saved because you're not separated. God does the separating. He removes you from out of the kingdom of darkness, out of Satan's hands, into his kingdom. And that's where you are. Now he says, now I want you to quit acting like you're over there and start acting like you're over here. That's the difference. So he says, now, when came this to Abraham? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? He says, oh, it was in uncircumcision. Therefore, it is by faith. Because circumcision was under the law. He says, so it came before then. So it's not by law. It's not by your ability to keep the law. It's by faith. And then he comes down to where we start today. Do y'all know where we start today? Where we start today. As the old fella says, wherever you at, there you are. Now, if you're, how many of you are in the fourth chapter with me? Okay. Now, he comes down there and he says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace that the end of the promise might be sure. Now, what do you think he said there? I want somebody that's not afraid. I want somebody to give me a paraphrased version of what I just give you. Huh? Well, that's okay. Know that you know. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, salvation can't be based on you. Because if it's based on you or me, I don't mean to point at you. I'm just making my point. If salvation is based on you, it's not sure. I know that you are a good man, but I know you failed. I know he's a good man from talking to him. Mm-hmm. But if I ask his wife, she'd say, oh, he's failed. Right. And if I'd ask him about her, he'd say, oh, she's the sweetest thing I've ever seen, but she's failed. Mm-hmm. We've all failed, folks. Well, if you fail once, you're a failure. It's that simple. How many times has God failed? Well, not a single time. I'm going to take somebody that's never failed to make sure that my salvation's sure. I'm going to take somebody that has never been unfaithful to make sure that my salvation's sure. And that's what he says. It has to be by faith through grace. It has to be by you. I'm going to come over here and talk to this little sweet thing. It has to be through you believing God. And then God bestows upon you two things. What are they, honey? No. What? Quit helping her. Let her learn. He bestows upon you two things after you believe him with all your heart. The Bible says believe with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? After that happens, what happens? What two things does he bestow on you? See, you hit it right on the head. He gives to you faith and grace. Now, what is faith? We've talked about it, so somebody should answer quickly. What is faith? Huh? Okay, you're the only one to answer. I'll come back over here. But believe what, honey?
On Jesus.
No. Huh? No. Hold that up, honey. Hold that up and give them a clue. Thank you. Listen, here's faith, folks, right here. This is faith. You believe not just anything, otherwise religion's in the abstract, folks, and faith is in the abstract, and everybody can have their own faith just like this world thinks. But if it's on something right like this, let me give you an illustration. Let me bring it down. Let me illustrate like this. How many of you have ever conveyed real estate? How many of you ever sold some real estate to someone? You have? I have. Okay, now, did you know that you can't convey real estate unless it is in written form? Can't do it. That you can't do it. In other words, I can't say to you, I'll sell you my house. Give me the money. You can have the house. It ain't going to fly, is it? It ain't going to fly. Well, what's God promising? Land. That's real estate, in case you're wondering. Well, here's your written contract of the real estate, bless God, that he's given you. It's the promised land, but it's promised on his word. Remember when Abraham, when he promised it to Abraham, what did he do to Abraham? I know I'm going backwards, but we've got people today that are just joining us, and I want to get them caught up as best I can. What did he do to Abraham? Thank you, honey. Thank you. I knew y'all get it. He put Abraham to sleep. Why did he put Abraham to sleep? Well, they were going to call it day. They were entering into a covenant. Right? God had promised Abraham the land. And he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take these sacrifices and I want you to split them in two and lay one on each side and one on the other. Right? And normally what would happen is the two people that were making the covenant would walk between the sacrifice. And that would cement the covenant. But Abraham can't have a part in this. If Abraham walks through there with God, then he has to swear off to glory. Not before God. So what did God do? We put him to sleep. He said, Abraham, I'm going to put you in deep sleep because you can't do this, son. Let me tell you something. When you come to Christ to get saved, he's going to put you to sleep. And he's going to honor the covenant. How many did he walk through there with? Now, what does his word say? To make a covenant, how many witnesses do you have to have? Or two or three. Two or three, right? Okay, how many walked through there? Who said that? I tell you what, son, you're smart as a tack. You can see them three things. It was God, the lamp, and the burning torch. Well, folks, that's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They walked through there and they said, listen, we've made this covenant with Abraham. Bless God, we're going. And you notice, he goes on down and say, and it's an everlasting covenant. So that when you come to Christ for salvation, you say, Tom, I thought we was talking about land. No, we ain't talking about land. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about how you get to the promised land. It's through salvation. And if you're not saved, you never see the promised land. You say, how do you know that? Go ahead, honey, tell them loud. Tell them loud. You're my assistant. Shout it out. It's in there. He said, well, it is in there. Hebrews says that they entered not into his rest because of unbelief. He said, the land's yours. They said, well, yeah, it's nice over there, but we can't take it. Now, what's wrong with that? Were they right?
No.
Oh, they were right. Oh, I got to go over here. They were absolutely right in what they said.
Because they didn't believe them.
No, they were right in what they said. They said two things. They said, oh, it is a land of milk and honey. Boy, I'm going to tell you. And they came back. Remember, they had these grapes that you could put over your head for a swimming thing, you know. I mean, that's how big the grapes were. They had to carry them on staves. You remember? That's what it says. It was a land of milk and honey. And so it was what God promised, right? It was exactly what God described to them. But what was the problem? They said, we can't take it. They were exactly right.
Yeah, but God gave it to them.
They didn't say you gave it to us. They said, we can't take it. God never told them to go take it. He said, I've given it to you. Go on over there and possess it. Listen, that's what salvation is, folks. Salvation's not about you taking something. Salvation's about God saying, listen, I've done give it to you. Just go on over there and take it. Possess it. I'll do the fighting. Well, where did he fight for us? Where did he kill the enemy? Lord, if you ain't picking that up, I can't help you. He said, listen, you, it's yours. All you got to do is believe me. All you got to do is believe me. I'll do everything else for you. You can go in, bless God, and walk on streets of gold. You can see gates of pearl, walls of jasper. You can see everything I promised you. Just believe me. But it can't be up here. Can't be. The world wants us to believe, folks. Everybody going to heaven. Oh, don't you fall for that. I don't say, listen, my heart breaks. My heart breaks for people who don't go. When everybody could go, brother. God hadn't left anybody out. He said, whosoever will. Well, that's everybody. But you have to believe him. If you don't believe him, he's not going to let you in. Listen, he's not. He can't. And so he says, it has to be by faith that it might be by grace. It has to be through God's ability to keep his promise and bestow that promise on you as his favor. Now, you know what a favor is, don't you? Huh? That's something that you don't expect anything in return for. Because if you expect something in return, remember he said, then it's of debt. Huh? In other words, if somebody comes over to my house and mows my yard for me, and they do. I ain't mowed a yard and I can't remember when. I used to mow my yard, but I don't anymore. I've got people come and mow it for me. And you know what? They don't do it as a favor because each month I get a bill because it's of debt. But if I've got somebody that comes over and says, Tom, I hear you're not feeling well, son. I know you can't get out there and mow your own yard. I just want to come over and mow your yard for you today. And I'd say, well, son, what I owe you? Oh, you don't owe me anything. I just wanted to do you a favor. Well, God says, you don't owe me nothing. I just want to do you a favor. Folks, we're not talking about anybody. We're talking about God doing you a favor. We're not talking about a man doing you a favor. We're talking about the one who said, let there be, blessed God, now to nothing came everything. That's who did you a favor. And it's sure. And he says, then he goes on to talk about how he takes things that are not. You can follow it now. Yeah, I'm going on. He says how he takes things that are not and sees them as things that are as though they were. Where's a good illustration of that? Oh, let there be light. Well, there wasn't any light until he said, let there be. So he sees things that we can't see as though they are. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever talked to a dead person? I have. I stood by my dad's casket and my mom's casket. And I said, Dad, thank you for telling me about Jesus. I'll see you soon. I stood by my little mother's casket and I said, Mom, thank you for teaching me about Jesus. I'll see you soon. You know what they said back? Nothing.
One-way conversation.
It's a one-way conversation with us. It's a two-way conversation with God, bless God. You know how I know that? Tell them, honey. It's in the Bible. You remember this man, his name was Jairus. He came running to Jesus and he said, Jesus, my little daughter is almost dead. If you'll come, she'll live. Now, he believed God could heal her, right? He believed Jesus could heal her. Or else he's a stupid man for going to him. He had to believe. So on the way, they come and they say, oh, don't bother the master anymore. Don't bother him anymore. She's dead. Does anybody know what Jesus' words were to that man? Huh? No, that's not what he said. Just believe. You came to me. You didn't know that I knew before we got there she's going to die. I did. You came to me believing I could help your daughter. You just keep believing, bless God, I can help your daughter. Don't you listen to all these naysayers. You just keep believing. So on they go. They get to the house. They go in. They're weeping and mourning. Because back then they hired people to come in and weep and mourn. You know, that's what they did. They were professional weepers and mourners. And they came in and he said, why are you making all this noise? And they said, the child is dead. And he said, well, no, she's not dead. She's asleep. And now, does anyone know what I've told you about that? Does anybody remember? Am I the only one in here with this great, fantastic memory? Listen, let me tell you something. They're dead, bless God, if you can't wake them. They're asleep if you can. If she comes in of a morning and you've overslept and she's a little nervous about you, and she goes, wake up, wake up. If you don't wake up, bless God, you're dead. And she can't help you because you're not asleep. You're dead. But if she says, wake up, and you awaken, you weren't dead, you were asleep. Well, let me tell you something. The only person that can wake a dead person is God. Huh? How do I know that? Oh, the story. He put out all the weepers. He put out all the naysayers. He wanted only those that believed in that room. And he said, Tabitha. Kumasamah, which is to say, damsel, arise, wake up. And about an hour later, it wasn't an hour later? Oh, you know what happened? You know what happened when he said, Tabitha, damsel, wake up. You know what happened? Her little eyes come open. And you know what he said to him? Anybody remember what he said to him? Give her something to eat. I guess that deadness might have made her hungry. Thank you. She wasn't dead. She was asleep. Lazarus, you remember that, don't you? He even said, he's not dead. He's just asleep. I'm going to wait a few more days. Matter of fact, I'm going to wait, bless God, till the body starts decaying. I'm going to really show him something this time. Why was he doing that? Why was he doing? Was he just doing that to fill out pages in the Bible? No, he was wanting you to know that he could take something dead and bring it to life. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's why it comes on to the next part here. He talks about Abraham and that faith he had. Now, what did he promise to Abraham besides the land? Huh? Well, but where does a great nation start? With one child. What was Abraham's problem with the promise? He didn't have any children. He said, my problem is Eliezer is my heir. He's my servant. I don't have a child. You've promised me all this, but I don't have a child. How am I going to be a father of a great nation? I don't have a child. God said, yeah, you do. 25 years from now, you will. You're just 75 now. I want to wait till you're 100. Because if I do it now, they're going to say, well, boy, I tell you, I never thought a 75-year-old man could have a child, but he did. But if he waits till he's 100, then nobody's going to say nothing. But are you serious? A 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man, and they have a child? Because he says, Abraham considered not. Now, that's an interesting word. That's an interesting word. What it means is he didn't even give a thought. A thought to what? Well, his own dead body. Well, he was alive, wasn't he? What was he talking about? He was talking about his ability to procreate. He says, are you serious? I'm 100. I can't have a child. I can't produce a child. And my wife, I can guarantee she don't have any eggs to help. But you know what it says? He considered not his own dead body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not. He staggered not at the promise of God.